The U.S. Supreme Court is once again weighing in on an elections case, one with enormous potential for political repercussions. As NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports, at issue is the meaning of the one-person, one-vote principle.
The federal Constitution orders the Census Bureau to count every resident in the country so that they all can be represented in districts of equal population in the National House of Representatives. The status of state legislative districts, though, is less clear. In 1964, the Supreme Court, in a landmark decision, did away with grossly malapportioned state legislative districts by ordering that state legislatures be divided on the basis of one person, one vote. For a half century, the states have followed that ruling by designing state legislative districts roughly equal in population. Now, however, that definition is being challenged by a small cadre of conservative activists who contend that the one-person, one-vote principle is meant to equalize the number of eligible voters, not the total population in each district. That would mean that children, immigrants, legal and illegal, and other groups would be eliminated from the count. On the steps of the Supreme Court today, Texas State Senator Sylvia Garcia said that if the criterion for apportionment is voter eligibility, not population, her Houston district would grow from about 835,000 people to over a million, but the Latino percentage would be reduced from 54% to 46% because children would no longer be counted and Latino families tend to be larger. Nina Perales of the Mexican American Legal Defense Fund said the effect is not always predictable.
In a place like Texas, primarily rural voters would benefit, older, more Anglo populations. But on the other hand, pockets of Anglo folks with lots of kids in the suburbs lose out.
The named plaintiffs challenging the Texas State Senate map are Edward Fenninger, a YouTube conservative preacher, and Sue Evenwell, a member of the Texas State Republican Executive Committee. They're represented by the Project on Fair Representation, which 2 years ago persuaded the Supreme Court to strike down a key provision of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Neither the challengers nor their lawyers came out on the Supreme Court steps today to talk to reporters. Inside, however, lawyer William Consovoy told the justices that his clients' votes count for as much as 50% less in state Senate races. Ms. Evenwell, for instance, lives in a rural district with 584,000 eligible voters, while a neighboring district, equal in population, has only 372,000 eligible voters. Therefore, he argued, her vote has less weight, and the one-person, one-vote principle does not permit that. Justice Ginsburg interjected, for a half century, population has been the legitimate standard, not voter eligibility. We've never held to the contrary. Consovoy replied, tradition doesn't trump the individual rights of a voter. Justice Sotomayor, what you're forgetting is the dual interest. There's a voting interest and a representational interest. Justice Kagan, why would the Constitution mandate a total population metric for the House of Representatives and then forbid it for the state legislatures? Justice Ginsburg, in your interpretation of the 14th Amendment, from 1869 till 1920, the state should not have been counting women for the purposes of representation because they didn't have the right to vote. Justice Kagan observed that the framers of the 14th Amendment explicitly considered this question and made a decision. They said, quote, that numbers are what matter, not voters. Numbers, not property. That's the theory of the Constitution. And you're saying the states have to do it the exact opposite way. Defending the Texas apportionment was the state Solicitor General Scott Keller. He told the justices that the states have all drawn state legislative lines to create districts of equal population, and that such a system would be unconstitutional only if it were targeted at limiting the voting power of a particular group. Chief Justice Roberts, the principle is called one person, one vote. That seems to be designed to protect voters. Justice Alito, you could argue that total population figures are a good enough proxy for eligible voters, and that's what the census measures. Or you could argue that representational equality is the real basis, and therefore that's why you use population. So which argument are you making? Keller dodged the question, only to face a series of skeptical questions from the Chief Justice and Justice Kennedy. Why, they wanted to know, couldn't states draw legislative lines that both equalize population and minimize deviations in the number of eligible voters? Keller questioned the feasibility of doing that, noting that the challengers in this case had proposed no alternative map to do what they want. Representing the federal government, Deputy Solicitor General Ian Gershengorn followed up. Trying to reapportion based on both population and voter eligibility presents real data problems, he said, adding that it would be very odd for the court to demand as a constitutional standard data that does not even have to be collected under the Constitution and that does not, in fact, accurately measure voter eligibility. At the end of the day, only one thing was sure. As big arguments go, this one was remarkably quiet. The usually verbose Justice Scalia asked not one question. What that means is anybody's guess. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.